So for those of you that may not know me, my name is Jeremy Thake. I'm chief architect at AvePoint and Inc. I've been there for 2 years now. Prior to working at AvePoint, I was actually a consultant in Australia as a solution architect doing SharePoint work. So I will try and keep as clearly spoken as I can. I know sometimes people don't understand my quasi-Australian, quasi-originally from England, quasi-now in New York. My brother spoke to me yesterday. They published a new YouTube video of me introducing one of our new products. And he's like, you've turned American. I was like, what do you mean you've turned American? He goes, it's meetings, not meetings. I was like, okay, all right, I'll try and stick to my roots. I'm one of these guys that kind of evolves wherever I am. So please bear with me on that. So from a Windows Phone perspective, some of you guys have already, you know, inevitably taken down that Kool-Aid where, you know, you've realized that the really great thing about Windows Phone is that you get that consistency across not just the phone, but of your PC and of your slates, your services, or whatever devices you have out there. And the nice thing is that, that experience follows you. So for instance, for those of you that already had Windows 8 on your desktop PCs at home, if you purchased the Artisanal Pro today, how many people purchased both? Most of the room. How many people are eBaying them? Okay, no one. One of them. And what you would have noticed in, as soon as you logged in with your Microsoft account, it would pull down everything that was similar from your Windows 8 experience. And it's the same thing when you get a Windows Phone. You know, you log into your Windows Phone and it pulls through everything from that setup. So it's great from a user perspective in a consumer space, but also in the business space as well. Also, this concept of Office, I mean, most businesses are using Office internally, and that experience is now across all those multiple devices. And obviously, SharePoint is a big part of that Office experience in terms of where those documents should actually reside. And the ability from a developer perspective, for instance, in my experience, is that once you've learned Microsoft way of thinking, you've installed Visual Studio once, and maybe you've been building ASP.NET development kind of things, it's very easy to jump into building for Windows 8 or for Windows Phone 8. And so when you start looking at these things, it's not as big a learning curve as some of the other platforms out there in the environments. And obviously, it has very, very nice ties with a lot of the other kind of ecosystems that Microsoft has out there, such as System Center and Windows Azure from that perspective as well. So jumping on board and really buying into the whole platform really does make sense from an organizational perspective. So today we're going to talk about a few things. I'm going to talk about some of the new things that have been introduced in SharePoint 2013 from an app model perspective, just to really set the scene on what Microsoft were thinking when they decided to do this app model. I'm going to then talk about how to get started with phone basics, so what you need to actually start building these Windows Phone apps. And then I'm going to do there's going to be a few demos in there, but then I'm going to do two demos for you around the concept of a push notification and just show you some of the geolocation features that SharePoint and Windows Phone has as well. Now, I will put my hand up and say there is one demo that won't work just quite how I wanted it to work today, and I'm pretty convinced it's the Wi-Fi because it was actually working in my hotel room this morning. But I'll explain that when I get there, but I just wanted to didn't want to disappoint you as I went through this. So from an Office perspective, taking off the Windows Phone hat and putting on the Office hat, which I'm probably more familiar with anyway, for those of you that are out there, I did ask that question before, but how many of you guys are on SharePoint 2013 right now? These lights are really bad. Okay, 2010? Okay, 2007? 2003? Wow. Okay, I'll buy you a beer later as well. Things have come a long way since 2003. The 2003 world, they really didn't have a customization or a development experience. If you were building apps on top of 2003, you were a pretty dirty, ugly developer in that sense. You know, you were having to bend SharePoint in ways it really didn't want to be bent. With 2007 and 2010, the development experience got a lot better because they had a Visual Studio experience. It had a solution package that you could deploy into a farm that wrapped up all those customizations when you were building your business applications. And Microsoft did a study recently, and they found out that there was about 700,000 SharePoint developers globally that have been certified in Microsoft SharePoint, taken the exams and different things. So there is a very large community out there. A lot of the community is crazy. If you go to any of the SharePoint conferences or the SharePints or the SharePoint Saturdays, There's a very big group of people out there that are very used to using what was known as a solution package approach. But what's happened over the last few years is that the trend from going from a managed code perspective and having to know a very bespoke set of technology is changing and evolving. And Microsoft realized that there's a lot of developers out there that are very much strong in HTML and CSS and aren't jumping over into that SharePoint world. So Microsoft had to really kind of make some changes. If they wanted to make SharePoint that platform that would be very, very busy and built business applications on internally and that skills weren't a problem, they needed to give the developers the options to build on whatever they wanted to build on and not limit them to you must use a solution package, you must understand C# and VB.NET, and you must understand ASP.NET user controls. They really wanted to evolve that and try and open up that developer ecosystem. So what they introduced in SharePoint 2013 is this new cloud app model. And there have been some sessions this week that have gone into this in a lot more detail. So I will keep this very short, but I just wanted to weave this into this story. Essentially, it really allows people to build in whatever technology they want if they use the provider-hosted model of the app model. And we'll get into that in a minute. But what it means is, and I'm already seeing some of our customers starting to build things in PHP, starting to build things in pure HTML5, CSS, and JavaScript, rather than having to really consider ASP.NET, C# or VB.NET code deploying as a solution package into the farm. And what that means is they don't have to go and hire a SharePoint developer. They can use maybe their core development people and give them a little bit of light training to wrap the app layer around it and push it out to SharePoint. And the other thing was that really restricted us as developers in SharePoint 2010 and definitely in 2007 was this concept of the APIs that are available if you were trying to call SharePoint remotely. The day-old way of having managed code that executed on a SharePoint server gave us a lot of flexibility to do a lot of different things. Whereas if you were on a phone or if you're on a web application and you wanted to call over the SharePoint server, those endpoints were pretty limited in terms of what you could do. And there are a lot of them. There's RPC, there's SMX file, web services. And then they introduced REST and CSOM approaches in the APIs in the 2010 and obviously improved them in 2013. So the app model pushed Microsoft to really increase what APIs were available inside SharePoint in 2013. And as an architect at a vendor where we build products for SharePoint, you know, there are still some things missing, but it's been a great improvement where we can start dropping a lot of our server-side code. So the traditional approach of building stuff in SharePoint was that whatever code you wrote would execute on the SharePoint server. Now, for the IT pros in the room, you all hate SharePoint developers. Why do you all hate SharePoint developers? Because they don't understand how to write SharePoint code properly, manage code properly. The biggest problem that they have is that if they start using all the objects like SPSite and SPWeb, if they're not disposing of those objects, your SharePoint server, you'll see the RAM slowly creep up as the memory leaks come into play. It doesn't dispose. And then after a while, your CPUs will go crazy. And what the problem with that is it doesn't just affect that customization. That's affecting the whole SharePoint environment. Now, they did try and fix that in SharePoint 2010. With a thing called sandbox solutions and this concept of the client-side object model and REST. Go write your applications to call and consume. We don't want you executing code on the SharePoint server. If you do execute code on the SharePoint server inside this sandboxed solution, we'll actually monitor it. And if you consume too much CPU or you consume too much processor time, we'll cut you off. Now, Microsoft have actually deprecated sandbox solutions in 2013 because there were a lot of problems with the sandbox solutions in terms of the limited capabilities that you could do with the sandbox with managed code because it was a restricted API set. So what they introduced in SharePoint 2013 was this concept of the app model where nothing runs inside the SharePoint box. Now you can use full trust solutions, you can use sandbox solutions still if you're an on-premises SharePoint customer. But if you're in SharePoint Online, you can only use a sandbox solution or an app package now. So they've increased the amount of APIs available to be able to be consumed by a Windows 8 app or a Windows Phone app or any web application that you've got running out there. And they're really pushing down this path. I get a lot of questions from customers going, if we're not going to be jumping to Office 365, is it okay to still write full trust solution code on premises? And my answer there is, well, yes, if you've got that skill set and you haven't got time to retrain them in the app model, that's fine. Also have to remember, with everything that is Microsoft, and I'm probably going to get shot by the laser beam here, everything that is Microsoft, which is V1, is not as polished as it will be by the time the third release comes out. Now, credit to the product group. The app model is pretty baked. We've been involved, AvePoint have been involved for the last 3 years on that Wave 15 release, the 2013 release. And we've built a lot of apps already. And I can absolutely say that, you know, without a doubt, there's a lot of great business use cases for building those apps. And you'll see today when I start talking about the phone, how compelling it is to start consuming it from the phone perspective as well. So from a mobile application story, there's really two flavors. There's the list apps that we'll demonstrate, and there's this concept of a general app. Now, the list apps will walk you through a wizard. So when you go new project, I want a Windows Phone list app, you point it at your SharePoint instance, and essentially it asks you a bunch of questions to build out a view that you want to see on your phone. And it generates all the code for you. And I'll demonstrate this in a minute. I was super impressed at how quick it was to do. And you can use that as a base. You don't have to keep rerunning the wizard if you want. You can actually go and customize that code. But it gives you a lot of the plumbing for you to take that as a kind of a base and then start building on top of that and evolving that into your own business application. The second type of app that you get is what's called a general app, which is essentially it puts all the plumbing in place to connect up to SharePoint. But it gives you a vanilla blank surface when you open the app in the first instance. And I'll demonstrate an example of how I got something working from a use case that I wanted to demonstrate based on that model as well. From what hooks are there between Windows Phone and SharePoint, essentially because you have the client object model, you can connect into SharePoint, and you can query everything from the user profiles that are running in SharePoint, business connectivity services, you can call search, and you can call manage metadata services, as well as query the site collection, the site, the list library, or the list item itself. So there's a lot of extension points for you to be able to render exactly what you want on that phone surface. And it's very, very powerful, it's very, very quick, and they handle the authentication for you in a very, very nice way. What they've also included, which is very, very neat, is this concept of a push notification. And essentially what it does is your device will subscribe to a site or a site collection and say, I want to be registered for this. I want to, please tell me if there's anything that's changing on this site. Just notify me. And a little toast will pop up on the device. And also, they have integrated a lot with Bing Maps that are available on the phone. So as you're creating data on your phone, it can start capturing that geolocation. So they're the three kind of hooks that you have from your phone that you can point over to your SharePoint environment. And I'll be doing demonstrations of all those today. So as I've kind of asked earlier on, the main roles that you have in this scenario are twofold. There's the SharePoint developers out there. And the development word is obviously a contentious issue sometimes because some people don't think that if you're just using SharePoint Designer that you're actually a developer, that you're only a developer if you're using Visual Studio. I would argue that even if you're using InfoPath, you're still a developer. You're building business solutions on top of SharePoint. There's very different types of ways to build business solutions inside SharePoint. And then, obviously, you've got those phone developers where they're used to writing in XAML code or HTML5 code and pushing that through, and they're using Visual Studio and Blend to do that. Now, my background, as I mentioned earlier on, is SharePoint development. I'm very new to the phone development experience. But what I will say is that XAML is definitely a jump. There is a little bit of a learning curve there if you are very familiar with ASP.NET and C# and HTML. But there's a lot of great resources out there, and Microsoft have provided a ton of sample code and demos to help you get started with a lot of different scenarios around that. And the great thing is that with these demonstrations I'll be doing today, These will support not only on-premises AD, forms-based, but also Office 365 authentication. And I have prayed to the demo gods and the internet gods and the Office 365 gods, because I'm actually doing all my demos today on Office 365. They also have the ability to support the cross-firewall connectivity as well. So from an authentication perspective, you don't have to do as much plumbing as what you would with some of the other mobile devices out there to get authenticated into your SharePoint environment. So what do you need from a SharePoint developer perspective? So in the demonstrations I'm doing right now, I'm doing this straight off of my laptop. My laptop has Visual Studio 2012 on it. I have installed the SharePoint 2013 Client Components SDK, and I have installed the Office 2013 DevTools. That allows me to build a SharePoint app right away, deploy it and debug it running in my Office 365 instance. So for those of you that maybe come back old in the SharePoint world where you had to, and to be honest, I'm still carrying it around because I still do that development, a big rig, 32 gig of RAM, SSDs, you're running 4 VMs, and SharePoint still crawls, because you had to build SharePoint full trust and sandbox solution apps with Visual Studio installed on the SharePoint server. To build app model apps, you don't have to do that. You can just install those components. I can install those components for SharePoint on Windows 8, which I've got here, or you can install it on server. But you'll see in a moment why I haven't done that. I could have a VM with all of this in this as well, but I just found it easier just to install it on my base VM, my base machine. Now, one thing that has changed since SharePoint 2010 is that SharePoint 2013 development isn't supported on Windows 8. Now, what that means, or Windows 7, what that means is you can't actually install SharePoint on a Windows 7 or Windows 8 machine. You have to install it inside a Windows server. So your options there are either have a virtual machine with Windows Server running, install SharePoint in there and install Visual Studio and install the tools, or your base laptop is Windows Server. I tend to prefer the VM way of doing things with that approach. But again, you only really have to do that if you're continually doing full trust and sandbox solutions. Now, for phone development, and this is the bit where SharePoint developers kind of get stumped a little bit, the only supported environment is Windows 7 or 8. You install Visual Studio on it. There is a Windows Phone 7.1 or an 8 SDK that needs to be installed. And then there's a SharePoint SDK for Windows Phone. So when I first got told, you must do the session. When I got asked whether I wanted to do a session, obviously not doing Windows Phone dev before, I had to go through all these hiccups. And there's a really nice article that it kind of walks you through all these things. But it did take from me having a Windows 8 net new laptop, which I'd just been given from my IT team, about three and a half hours to install Visual Studio and then all these extra little SDKs and tools and different things. But once you're up and running, you're good to go. And I've embedded all the links directly into this presentation as well. So you can download this from the from your portal, and you'll be able to click on all these links and get the correct updated things. Now, one thing to bear in mind, and I got caught by this, is that Microsoft are great in the fact they do release a lot of preview SDKs and preview tools. When you start binging to find all these things, sometimes the top results aren't the latest tools. So I would highly advise you to, one, either check out my slide deck, or two, get the tools from the TechNet article, because they keep that up to date with the latest links. Don't get fooled by using search, because often they'll redirect you to older APIs, which won't work with the latest version of SharePoint Office 365. So they are stating here, and they're wanting me, Microsoft to ask me to state this very clearly, that this will never be supported on server environment. So for us as SharePoint developers, we have to be running on Windows 7 or 8 for this development. And if you wanted to build for your on-premises environments and you're testing, you're not going to be using Office 365 for your SharePoint dev component, you would have to have a VM with SharePoint running with Visual Studio installed with all the SharePoint tools. And then you would have Visual Studio on your Windows 8 machine with the Windows Phone tools. and essentially your host phone emulator would be calling into your SharePoint VM to do the communications. Today I'm demoing directly with Office 365, though I don't have that complexity. Not being much of an IT pro, networking between VMs and my host machine is something that always seems to baffle me, and IP addresses are a nightmare. And the other interesting evolution of C# and VB.NET war is that the Visual Studio projects are only supported in C# as well. So there are a few different approaches to developing in SharePoint. We've got the browser approach, we have the SharePoint designer approach, we have the Visual Studio approach. Everything I'm demonstrating to you guys today will be in Visual Studio in 2012. And then from a phone developer experience, we'll be demoing a few different areas, and the majority of it will be either working in the design view, in the preview, working with the XAML, or writing that underlying C# managed code. So it is a little bit of a jump for me, especially, where I've been coming from an ASP.NET C# role over to this XAML way of thinking. The biggest change from the XAML way of thinking, I guess, is that as a traditional SharePoint developer, it really wasn't easy for you to use the model view, view model pattern, the MVVM pattern. You were really kind of forced to kind of mold everything together. It was very, very hard to separate concerns with SharePoint dev. If you think about the web part concept, it was hard to separate the lists, which essentially is the model, from the web part view, which is the equivalent of the phone page view inside here. And so if you've always been a SharePoint developer, this approach can be a little bit of a learning curve. And what I'm going to do now is just jump into a demo, but I've left these slides here just to explain all the different files that are coming through. So, if I jump into my projects here, the first project I wanted to show you is this list phone project. Now, I'm going to open a new Visual Studio interface here, and I'm just going to go file new project here. And what you'll see is if I scroll down in the Visual C#, and I did the whole rookie mistake of installing Visual Studio the wrong way and setting VB as a thing and not seeing the Windows Phone templates. But if you go down to the C# area and Windows Phone, when you scroll down here, you'll see that there's two SharePoint project types here. And I'm just going to use the defaults just to demonstrate this. If I come in here and essentially add my URL, what it's going to do is it's going to prompt me. So I'm just going to put in my credentials. And that's going to query the server. And what that's pulled back is all of the lists that are available within SharePoint for me to pick which one I want to demonstrate inside that mobile app. And I'm just going to jump and pick the document library there for sake B. And there's only one view available, so yep, I'm going to have the all documents view. And I want to be able to do a new item, a new document, a display, an edit, and a delete. And I can choose which fields I want to show on my details page. So maybe I don't want to show version, and the copy source really doesn't make sense to the business user to see that particular column. And I'm going to click next, and just click finish. I could have changed the ordering. Maybe I'm going to have the title up the top, because it's the most relevant. What that's going to go away and do now is actually go and create that project for me and give me a base view with the new, the edit, the details type screen. And what's really nice about this is if I click F5 straight away, and this is one of the reasons why they're using Windows 7 and 8, because this is actually using Hyper-V for the virtualization emulator of the phone. So you can see here that the phone is running now, and gotcha, when I was in my hotel room, this wasn't working. I was like, why is it not working? So just as a heads up for anyone, you have to make sure that you can go back into the thing and access the internet. So if you're in a hotel room where they're pinging you for your passwords, because this is an emulator, it's a different MAC address to your PC. So even though on your PC you've accepted internet connections, you actually need to do that again in here. So it looks and feels exactly like the phone. You have all the swipe gestures. So I can jump back into that now. And And what that does is it's going to prompt me again. So this is my auth for my Office 365. Now, I can tick this to say, remember me. Now, the annoying thing originally about this was when you click on here to type in here, you can't use your keyboard. You had to get the on-screen keyboard up. So what you can do is click the pause key on your keyboard, or if you're on a Lenovo device where there isn't a pause key, you can use the function P button on your keyboard. And what that will do is it'll allow me now to type on my normal PC keyboard rather than clicking on the emulator keyboard, which gets very frustrating after a while. The annoying bit is you do actually have to do that for every field. And unfortunately, you get to see the password. So I'm going to sneak that off to the side because this is my production environment and this is being recorded. And so now you'll see straight away that's pulled up all of the documents inside SharePoint. So if I go over to my Internet Explorer and have a look at my wonderful populated dev environment, you will see that the items in that list is what's pulled through straight away. Now again, document library isn't the best one to use as an example of this out of the box, but I wanted to show this as a highlight because I'll show you another demo in a minute, which is a lot more useful. I can click in here and you can see all of the... can see if I hang on, just let me get zoom it out. You can see that, you know, you get those details there, you get the delete, you got the edit. And you've got the cancel buttons too. So immediately, imagine if you've got, and the scenario that we had internally was, you've got a list that's being pulled via BCS. So we've got an Oracle database sitting over here. We've used BCS to hook that up into a SharePoint list or library. And then I've just done that quick thing to connect that through. I can immediately be editing my Oracle data from my Windows phone very, very quickly. And this is something that's extremely powerful for, you know, for road warriors on the fly to be able to, you know, instantly get to that data and start editing it or querying it or searching it. So that was one example there. The other example I want to demonstrate is this one here, which just to give you some context, we have an app that we've released, which is absolutely free. So if you're a SharePoint 2013 customer right now, you can download this thing called AvPoint Meetings. And what this allows you to do is track meetings within SharePoint. So meeting workspaces got deprecated. and the biggest problem with it was is that it wasn't very flexible from a structured data perspective. So I can come in here and have a look at this meeting, which is a recurring meeting. And in this meeting, I can start putting down agendas. So we can say, all right, well, we're going to talk about Windows Phone. And I'm going to add an action which says I need to research integration with task lists. And I can assign that to myself. Now, under the hood, what that app is doing is actually storing that action inside a SharePoint task list. So if I go back to the root site there, jump into site contents and have a look at my actions for meetings list, that action I've just created is actually a task. Now, this is a real-world experience here where essentially, we wanted to build a Windows Phone app that allowed you to see the actions that were created in that meeting, and release that to the store for our customers. Again, for free. We're doing all of our apps are actually being published for free. And I had to get some estimates together as a developer or the architect of this of, you know, how long do you reckon this would take? Well, in the instance I've just demoed you of, like, pointing to the site, pointing to the list, picking my view, if I F5 on this one, and what you have to do is actually stop the debugging on the previous project. But if I F5 on this one, this will deploy that application into the emulator, which is connected up to that task list. And I've made a few modifications to this. So again, because it's the first time in the app, it will ask me to type in my password. So I'm just going to quickly throw that in there. Yep, nearly forgot. You guys could have found that. on now. I'm going to pass her a mistake. And what that's going to do is actually pull those tasks down from that list. So you can see here that if I scroll down to the bottom, that it will pull through all those tasks. And sometimes the emulator does take a little while to display that, but you can see, buy beer for tonight, research integration. And the nice bit here is I've actually added a column into that view which allows me to tick that to say it's complete. The way I've done that is the out-of-the-box XAML that was built, if I have a look inside the view models where it's, the views where it's being listed, I've made a modification to the out-of-the-box XAML. So all I did was I wrapped a horizontal stack panel around what I've done, and I added this checkbox control and bound it to the checked complete underscore one, bound it to the check mark, and pulled that through. And then the rest of the items, the title, the property, and the status, I wrapped in a vertical stack panel from that perspective. So straight away, and that one took me probably 10 minutes from start to finish, I've immediately got an app that's hooked up to my task list that allows my users to go in there and complete those tasks. So again, a very, very powerful thing to kind of do from a development perspective, regardless of whether it's a product as a vendor such as myself or whether you guys are building these things for your internal organizations. So that's an example of the list project that's within the Windows Phone. So I'm just going to click close on that one. And the other one was the standard phone app model. Now, the standard phone app model, the scenario I had was actually something that we have internally. And I'm pretty sure as soon as I mention this scenario, you're all going to sit there and nod. Who here, when they travel, has to submit expenses? Who here loses receipts? Who here then never gets reimbursed again? Okay, watch this. So, this is something that I built internally as a proof of concept, which we're actually going to roll out internally. Essentially, what we've done is this: the app creates you this main page XAML and a few kind of plumbing bits to get going into SharePoint. And all I did was I added these lines of code here, the camera capture task, and on the completed event, when the camera's actually captured the image, we're actually going to fire off this foo underscore completed method. I have a bunch of objects that I'm storing information, such as the URL of the site that I'm going to save the picture, i.e. the receipt, and the document library name. In this completed, all I'm actually doing is making sure it was okay, the camera didn't fry or blow up or something. I grab the photo into the stream and also grab it as a bitmap image and show that on the screen once the photo's been taken. But then I actually load the SharePoint site. I actually get the SharePoint site context. And I've left some links in here. I will put this sample code up on my blog. The nice thing is to actually pass in the credentials once you've raised that context to that SharePoint site, all you have to do is that simple line, which is equals new authenticator. What that does is it will try and auth you on your phone, and if it can't auth you, it'll prompt you, a bit like the other two demos I showed you just there. One thing to bear in mind, and this was a gotcha for me a little bit, was because if it doesn't auth you directly and it is going to ask you for a prompt, it will load a prompt screen on the UI. And you can't do that on the same thread as the main thread of the Windows Phone application. So what you actually have to do is run that on a separate thread. So you'll see here that I'm going to go grab that list, the document library list. I'm going to load its context. I'm going to go get all the items in that list and load those contexts. And then fire off that thread. In the thread callback, once I've executed that, I can then load that picture that was in the stream directly into this content object. Override it if it already exists. I'm just going to write it into that document library for now, for demo purposes sakes, with the ticks into that shared documents library, and then run and execute that query. And you can see here as an example, what we could have done is added some extra metadata in there as you went. So maybe that you prompt the user to plug in the price and pick a category for the expense. That would be how you added the extra metadata into there. If I F5 on this one, again, because the emulator is already running on my machine now, it doesn't have to go through all that wind-up process. You see the app comes up very, very quickly. As you can see, I'm very much a designer, and I'm all into UX. This is just me to prove the point that this is quite easy to do. There's a button called button. I click on that button, and I get my supple camera. Now, obviously, it's not using my computer camera. I'm not going to kind of lift this up and take a photo of a receipt. It just does a sample image with this moving thing. And if you click and hold on here, you get up the focus, and you can accept the white screen. And that will, and you can see, it's now accepted it, it's got the stream, it's tried to call the SharePoint object model, and it's come back up with this authentication. So what I need to do now is go through the process of trying to hide my password from you and authenticate into my environment. So the function P, or the pause button to get in to do this. If I type my password in right, and now I didn't get to the point of kind of having a da-da, we've uploaded your receipt, but you could do the da-da, we've uploaded your receipt. So what happens with that? Well, if I go into my SharePoint document library now, where is it? You'll see that a few seconds ago, and you can see I've been testing this just to make sure the Wi-Fi wasn't going to kick out and do anything nasty, it's actually uploaded that image with that ticks in directly into that document library. So again, it doesn't have to be a photo from the camera on the phone. It could be maybe there was a document that you generated on your phone and you wanted to automatically push it straight into SharePoint. So very, very quickly, you can get things into SharePoint with a very few simple lines of code using the client-side object model and leveraging that authenticator for the sign-in to actually make that experience, as you would expect on a Windows phone, very, very simple and feeling very, very integrated. So that's the two major types of integrations. What I'm going to do now is jump back to the slides. The second type of integration is what we call the push notifications. So the push notifications essentially is a way for me to send a message to your phone. So an example would be Exchange uses push notifications to notify you of when there's new mail in your inbox. Or there will be an application, maybe you've got a sports app on your phone, and you're crying because the Bruins beat the Penguins again last night, and they're 3 down in the series, and it's pushed to your phone that, yes, your team is playing really bad right now and probably going to be at the playoffs by the end of the week. The way that it does this with SharePoint is SharePoint actually handles that notification system. This isn't using the Azure notification system. This is something built into SharePoint 2013, and it's leveraged with a few simple lines of code. Essentially what happens is that this service allows me to register and tell SharePoint my app with this ID on my phone wants to actually subscribe to any messages that SharePoint decides to broadcast out. Now, obviously, the broadcast is every subscriber, but you can actually write some logic to say, well, I know there's 100 people that have subscribed to this site, but I'm going to check the context of those users and only send a notification if they meet that criteria. So for instance, the scenario that I wanted to demonstrate today, but unfortunately the demo gods got the better of me before the session even started, was when that receipt got dropped into that document library, the workflow kicked off. And the finance guy would obviously approve it, because they don't actually check it. They just want to click a button, and then they'll give you your money back. It would then fire a push notification to my phone and tell me that receipt's been approved and make me feel happy. And then I could go and have a drink and not worry about it for the rest of the time. The way that it does that is it uses that PNS service, the push notification service, to go discover that phone. So the trust is with this service, and in Office 365, this is all handled for you. In on-premises, there are ways of doing this, but obviously as an IT pro, as you're probably aware, some of those things do take a little bit of kind of jumping and through hoops to get going. And that's, to be honest, why I use the Office 365, because it's all that plumbing's done for you. And it will send that notification back up to the phone. So with the push notifications, there's three main types of notification. Two that are kind of the plumbing's built for you. One is the toast notification, and the toasts in the Windows phone will basically come up in the top of the phone, and you have to click OK to close that notification. The tile will actually update the tile on the app inside the phone, so the context of the tile will change, so it will say, you know, your receipt has been approved. Or there's some raw notifications where you can actually build a lot more complex ways of notifications where your app will have a construct which will accept a particular type of message, and you can post your raw notification with that understanding of what that construct is and display that within your app somewhere. So the two native ones are the toast and the tile, and then the third one is more about you building a construct within your app. So there's two things you have to bear in mind here. By default, the push notification feature, the SharePoint feature, is not activated within the site SP Web. So you do have to ensure that that feature is activated in that site. The second thing from a code perspective is when your app inside SharePoint wants to do some broadcasting, there is a push notification subscribers collection, which is essentially all of the apps on the phone that have said, we want to hear from you. They're the ones that have subscribed to wanting to hear these notifications. So I'm just going to show you this from a plumbing perspective. And I have rigged a little bit of a cheat to actually show you what the notification looks like. And I'll explain what isn't working in the demo as well. So if I come into the push notifications project, the way that this one works, because this isn't just a Windows phone aspect, we've actually got a SharePoint app in here. And we're actually using not a SharePoint hosted app, we're using a SharePoint provider hosted app. What this means is as a SharePoint provider hosted app, I not only have a project which is my app package, you can think about that as a sandbox solution Visual Studio project, but I also have, oh God, how many times am I going to get prompted for my Office 365 password? I also have a web application project there, much like you would expect if you were a standard ASP.NET developer. Now, with the second one, this is this scenario where developers can build in whatever kind of coding language they want. Because this web application, in this instance, yes, I am using an ASP.NET web application. But this provider-hosted app could point to an Apache web application running PHP, or a J2EE application, or a standard HTML5 application running on a web server somewhere. It doesn't have to be ASP.NET anymore. Because you can consume SharePoint CSOM via JavaScript. You can consume the REST and OData services in SharePoint via JavaScript. So the underlying programming model you use right now doesn't actually matter. And they handle all that authentication for you. So in this example here, the plumbing goes like this. And I am assuming that you have some understanding of the nature of what a SharePoint feature is. A SharePoint feature is something that can be activated and it will run a various instructions as part of that vanilla SharePoint site. What I'm actually doing here is I've got a receipt notification here. And if I click in here, what this is doing is this is actually going to create me an instance of a list called receipts inside my app. I then have the definition of what that list will look like. So I can define what columns are in there, whether versioning switched on, what views I have, those types of things. And then the really important part is this event receiver. Now, something that's very new in SharePoint 2013 is this concept of a remote or an external event receiver. Event receivers, from an app model perspective, aren't available. Because an event receiver executes managed code on the SharePoint server. And obviously, Microsoft wanted to get away from people running managed code on a SharePoint server. So an external event receiver, actually when an event happens on a SharePoint list or library, it calls off to a service with the context of what happened. So this is an example of me registering an external event receiver against that receipt list that I've created. And in this instance, I've registered for events where I'm adding something to the list by the item added type, updating, and deleting. And I provide the URL to the service that will be called on that event happening. Very, very similar to in SQL with triggers. Now, you'll see there that it says remote app URL. When you package this up and publish it to Office 365 or to your on-premise environment, it does a lot of switching out of these tokens with the actual fields of where that service is going to be running. So it takes a lot of the pain out of kind of debugging this stuff for you. Now, in my actual web application here, that is where my service is, my change receiver service. And this is managed code. So this managed code, this method, will be called from SharePoint whenever a new receipt gets dropped in or whenever a receipt metadata is changed. And this is this thing is running in Azure inside a web role. And that has context back to call SharePoint. So you'll see inside here that there's this thing called a token helper where I can create the context using my client-side object model inside SharePoint, and I can start doing the following. So I'll walk through this code. Essentially, I'm going to go and get all of the subscribers and execute that query. And then I'm going to create a push notification definition, and I'm going to give my toast title and my message. And in this instance, I'm saying that I'm notifying my device that a list has changed. But in the context of a receipt, it could be that once we check the status of the workflow, and if the status is updated, we'll notify them that that particular list item has been approved, that they created. So that's how, rather than, you wouldn't want to broadcast all of the subscribers that Jeremy's receipt was approved. You would say, okay, it was, what receipt was it? Who created it? Oh, Jeremy created it. All right, has he subscribed for notifications? Yes. All right, I'll let him know it's approved. So you have to remember the subscription is for the site-wide, so you have to do a little bit of intelligence here to work out who you're actually going to notify. And you can see I'm adjusting the message here based on the event type of added, updated, or deleted. But the key bit here is, in this example, I'm just iterating through all of the subscribers and notifying everybody. And what that will do is it will take that subscriber and push a toast to that individual device. So again, there's not that many lines of code there, and you've got direct integration with Beowulf to prompt your users. We're actually going to start using this internally at AvPoint, where we heavily use our intranet. And we have announcements that we publish on the intranet homepage. We used to do this via email. The problem is now is that not everyone goes to our intranet homepage every day. And our governance policy has stated that we're not going to use email at all. We're going to force people to go to the intranet to see all the announcements. So when we launched this in November last year, the biggest problem was people didn't know that there was being these announcements because they were used to seeing the emails. And now they have to go to the intranet. So what we're actually doing is we're going to start using this notification system that when our HR team or our IT team posts an announcement on the homepage of our intranet, their phone's going to bleep. And they're going to be notified that there's a new announcement. And when they click OK, it'll actually open up the web browser with the intranet announcement on their mobile device. So again, we've got rid of the email, we're driving people traffic to the intranet homepage, and we have that notification aspect that they're used to with their email notification in their inbox. So this is very, very flexible from a scenario perspective. Now, the other thing in here that you have to be wary of is that hookup between the event receiver being called has a trust that when you're in debug mode, on your local machine, you have to enter in a unique thing from your Azure instance. So what I'll do is I'll just go in here and quickly scroll down here. And you'll see that there's an enable remote event debugging, and you have to enter in your Windows Azure Service Bus connection string. You grab that from logging into your Windows Azure account, and if you create a service bus, You can go to a connection string and grab that and copy and paste that in there. What that means is, and this is the bit that isn't working, unfortunately, is if I F5 this, I can put a breakpoint on that event receiver, and that's running locally on my PC, and I can go and drop a new receipt in my list, and it would have called and broke into my event receiver running on my laptop. But unfortunately, that subscription to the service bus isn't working over this Wi-Fi for some reason, and I haven't quite got to the bottom of it. But to demonstrate how this would look on the phone, just to show you what a toast would look like, if I just close all this down, I can spin up my phone instance as an emulator there, and that will now run this Windows Phone app. And you'll see here it's launching task failed. Let me just close the emulator and close down my other projects. Yeah, that's why this version of Visual Studio decided to die on me. Stop. And what I will show you is that I can spin up my Windows Phone emulator with the app that's basically going to subscribe to this notification. Let's see if it works now. And what I'll run is, I've cheated a little bit. What I've done is, rather than relying on the event receiver to be triggered to then push the notification out, I've baked into the load of the app page the ability to trigger it. So if I go into and I go into my push notification app, which I've walked you through the logic of, what you should see is that I can come into here and actually type in the URL of that app. And again, I've done this as a demo app, so you guys can easily put in your own environments in here. So I have a dev site collection that I'm using. And what that's going to do is it's going to validate that this app can authenticate into that, my Windows Phone app can authenticate into my SharePoint app that I've deployed, which is where my announcements will be created, or the scenario we walked through, which is the receipts being created. I'm going to have to put in my credentials again, because again, every time I build these new apps, I'm being asked about that. And so now you'll see that it has validated it, and there's a button there so that if you haven't activated the hidden push notification feature in your SharePoint site, when you click there, it will activate that feature for you. And this little toggle there is actually saying that this app, this Windows Phone app, is now subscribed to that site for all notifications. So I've hard-baked that when I refresh this page, that toast will appear. So I'm just going to go back in my browser, and I'm going to jump into my push notification. Oh, let's close that down. My push notification again here. And what you should see on my Windows Phone is that now you get the toast in the top of your screen. So you don't have to be in the app. I can be just, my phone can be off in my pocket. That'll let you push that up. And you can put whatever you want in those notification screens there. So you can see here that I said, you know, the title of the list was list change, and the content of it was there. So you could communicate with them on whatever you wanted there. So another scenario that I've seen already a customer doing in Office 365 was they had the ability of, they had an announcements list inside SharePoint. And if they wanted to communicate with everyone in the company that had a Windows phone, maybe about a storm happening and not having to come into the office, or maybe there's going to be some downtime on SharePoint or Exchange while some maintenance is happening, you can actually create an announcement in a SharePoint list and then have an event receiver trigger call and then push this out to everyone in your organization. So it's a really nice way of communicating with your organization without going back to maybe the traditional way of email where it's filling up your inbox and becomes a lot of noise. Granted, there then could be a lot of toast noise, but you know, it's a different way of communicating. So that's the push angle. And I apologize that the event receiver didn't allow me to do that. The original demo, what happened was, as soon as I took the photo of the receipt and uploaded it, the workflow kicked off. I approved the receipt, and then that push notification then popped up and told me that my receipt had been approved. So I'll just close that one down and just jump back to my slide deck. Where did my clicker go? So that was push notifications. And the third thing that they introduced with the Windows Phone and SharePoint kind of tight integration here is location. So obviously, every phone out there now has a mapping system, and I travel lots of conferences, and I like to go and see the city, and I rely very heavily on maps to find my way around, mainly to go to the different bars in different towns and make sure I can meet up with everyone here at the conference. There is a new location type available in SharePoint 2013, which is a geolocation field. And I'll demonstrate that in a moment. And what that means is I can actually record a longitude and latitude as a piece of metadata on any list item in a SharePoint list. I worked with a big mining company in Western Australia about 3 or 4 years ago where we actually built this custom, and it took a long time to do. The reason in their scenario why they wanted this was they have mine sites all over the world. And when they create documents, maybe about a piece of equipment, where a spec document or a safety document, they wanted to be able to record the exact location of that device based on its GPS recorders. And then the idea being is that they then had a visual map where they could, say, drill into the map and see all the documents relevant to that area of the map. It's very, very useful for engineers on mine sites or on oil rigs. As that's just one scenario of where the longitude and latitude can be interesting. In this scenario, and it's something you're probably familiar with if you take a photo on your phone and you've enabled GPS, if I take the photo, it can record the location of where you were when you took that photo. So again, I could say, show me all the photos from New Orleans. And see that, or New Orleans, depending on where you're from. And see those photos based on the location of where they're taken. And this Windows Phone integration actually has that capability. So if I jump into my sample here, what I'll show you is that I created a location field inside that push notifications app. So in that list definition, my receipts list, closes down. In that receipts list, I actually created a column which was the location for my list. So you see here that I can just add any fields I like by name, but I can also pick a type. So in this instance, I picked geographic location. So when it provisioned that SharePoint list for all my receipts, it provisioned a location column as part of the metadata of that document library. Now in my list, in here, when I actually add new receipts into my list, I'm just going to just grab a document. You'll see that there's a built-in way of saying whether you specify a location or use my location. So this is not Windows Phone yet. This is just out-of-the-box SharePoint. And this worked in Chrome, but didn't work in IE because of my security settings. But I could actually specify a location with longitude and latitudes there. I'm going to actually just jump over into Chrome because my security settings are lower in here. If I add one in here, so it's picked up my location based on obviously the Wi-Fi network I'm connected to here. And when I save that document into my list, you'll see that the location aspect has a little world icon on it. If I click on that inside SharePoint, it's actually going to give me a location map, and I can actually, you know, jump in and go even further and kind of drill that down and see that directly inside Bing Maps as well. So again, this is integrated directly into SharePoint now, a very deep integration. What's really nice, though, is if I had built, which I have already done, an app connected to that list with that geolocation field selected as part of my view. When I run that app up inside my environment, there's actually deep integration into my app. And I obviously need to authenticate in because this is a new app I've built. And so when I click in that document, you'll see that the location field actually has a map it. If I map it there, it'll ask me whether I want to use the Maps API. They'll actually map the location of that document. But what's really nice is, if we went into the receipt example as well, when you take the photo of the receipt, I could prompt as a piece of metadata for it to register at location. So the scenario, the use case we're actually building out internally is that where I travel globally, at the minute, we have to pick a currency which is relevant to wherever I am. But the idea being is if I take a photo of a receipt when I'm in Madrid and take a Europe in a few weeks, it'll look at my location, know that I'm in Spain, and will pick the currency for me automatically, saving my end users time when they're submitting their receipts. So again, there's a lot of deep integration with the location aspects of the fact that your users are mobile using these devices. So I'm hoping that that's going to be a good exploratory view of the types of integration that's available between SharePoint 2013 and Windows Phone 8 or Windows Phone 7.1. If you're on SharePoint 2010, you can still talk to the client object model and you can still use the authentication metals that we had, but what you can't do is you can't do the push notifications because that's something that's built into the SharePoint 2013 environment or the geolocations. So it is something that you would have to consider upgrading to SharePoint 2013 to get those two features that we've discussed there. Now, I have got these slides, and I know Monday's been and Tuesday's been, and it's been a long week, but I wanted to just list out the relevant sessions if you were interested in Windows Phone in more detail, but you've been doing the SharePoint track this week. So I've listed those there. And I've also recommend having a crack at some of the hands-on labs that are available for the standard kind of Windows Phone 8 non-SharePoint stuff. Go and have a look at the booth. There's some really cool demos they're doing of some of the nice new devices that are available on the market. And we are going to give away a phone, so I know that's why you're all staying. There are Windows Phone hats. And what was the other thing they wanted to tell me about? And there's hoodies as well. Has anyone got one of the Windows Phone hoodies yet? No, okay. Oh, you've got some? Their Windows Phone team seem to get pretty cool stuff. Some of the other product groups get really daggy clothes, but Windows Phone always seem to have nice baseball caps and stuff. what I will just say is please fill out your evaluation forms for this session. I really would appreciate your feedback on whether this kind of hit what you were expecting of the session and the abstract. I will be available down in the expo hall if you have any other questions or if you have any questions after this session. Thank you very much for your time today. I hope that you found that useful and a good kind of education into what you guys can do with SharePoint 2013 and Windows Phone. You can scan that now. I wonder if that will actually work on your phones, but go figure. And that will jump through, and you can immediately fill out your evaluation form while you sit here as we draw a winner for the phone. That was a bit sneaky, wasn't it? So the phone that you are up to win is an unlocked Nokia Lumia 620, which is either yellow or green, according to the picture on the box. I must admit, I just saw the new 928. The one of the guys over here has one. It's a really nice device. They've squared it off a little bit. The 920 was quite curvy on the edges. So this one's it feels a lot nicer in the hand. So definitely go and check that out at the Windows Phone booth. See if this works. I can see people taking up and taking photos. So the other reason that I would like you to evaluate my session and hopefully give me a good rating is that I think the two top speakers in the Windows Phone track actually get to win a phone as well. And I'd really like a new 928. So please, please, please fill out your evaluation forms. I would very much appreciate a new phone. Okay. I've drawn two prizes today. Did anyone queue up and try and win the Ducati today at the AvPoint booth? Tried. I know, I couldn't pick all of you out, but yeah, one lucky guy got it, so.
All right, pick a winner.
All right. Okay, Joe Calmore. Oh, look at that. Congratulations. So again, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of TechEd. Thank you for paying attention, and enjoy the party tonight as well.